The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Paranormal existence.
You mean to say you came here purposely?
The first move in the great conspiracy had been made.
And we are live.
Hey, fantastic. Hey, this is
How
nice.
How are you, John? It's been a while.
It's been a while. You know, lovely to be back in the community.
It is. Yeah. What a wonderful community we've built.
It's a fantastic community, and I think it grows from strength to strength, and that's portrayed by the hard work we all put in as a team.
Years of work.
And it's really, you know, the listeners are piling on now, absolutely piling on, which is brilliant news. You know,
I'm just going to do this noise while you talk.
Okay. I mean, the listeners are really showing their appreciation for what we've done over the months and coming up to the years. I think we've really sort of not quite reached the pinnacle. There's still a lot of room to go. And I think that shows in the quality of the programs. They shine. They stand out from the other podcasts, you know. And the content is just incredibly strong. And I for one, feel honored to be part of this. And I know you yourself are very excited every time we meet up. And Mike, of course, is so massively excited he hasn't come to this one either. But that's fine. That's fine. Because
in fairness, he's been involved in a horrific accident involving seafood.
Yeah. I mean, let's just face facts. And he did say not to mention it, but there has been some light yellow liquid emitted on a very large scale. Luckily,
he does wear light trousers as well.
He's got a big thing for cream chinos at the moment. And we know that, you know, with the summer being here, the man from Del Monte look is fantastic. And he does look swish with it. But when you decide to eat M&S, you know, prawn kebab sticks or whatever they're called.
Heavily discounted
from a train station, not even from a proper M&S, but from a train station. You are looking death in the face. And Mike took the risk, and again, I won't go into too much detail because he did say, look, it's embarrassing what's happened, and he's ashamed of himself, but he decided to eat the prawn lollipop from Marks and Spencer's whilst on an Intercity 125 traveling back to Wales from London. And within the first 40 minutes, he has, as we've been told via text message tonight, lost control. Up to 3 pints of light yellow liquid have come out of him on the train. He's managed to get to one of the toilet cubicles before anybody's noticed. The issue he's having is that he's soaked. He's caked in his own fluid. His light cream chinos are now sort of, you know, the same color as the Demon Seed logo, essentially.
Yeah.
And there's no way he's going to make it off of that train back to his own home. He's not going to be able to get a taxi without someone noticing. So if you are near a train station right now, I know this is going to be a pre-record, but it's highly likely that Mike's going to be crawling on all fours over the next 7 to 10 days to get home.
Yeah.
Look out for a man in his late 50s, early 60s, who is caked in his own feces and crawling back home in tears.
I suggested he find an old newspaper, make some like origami temporary trousers, and he called me a cunt.
I mean, this is the thing. I mean, we all know that when it happens, and we've all been there, the first emotion is anger, you know, resentment. Yeah. You're angry not at yourself, but at the world. Why have I had this liquid come out of me? You know,
moment of the Big Bang is all come to this. Why?
Yeah, exactly. And I think he's going to be questioning his own actions right now. He's going to be sort of, you know, deciding, why did I decide to have that prawn lollipop from Marks and Spencer's at the train station before jumping on the train. And why did I think I could push that one little bubble out? You know, we all know that if you feel a bit of air on a train, keep it in, because nobody likes an accident, do they, Reese?
Nobody wants a mystery squirt.
So let's spare a thought for Mike, who's not here tonight because he's, I shouldn't have mentioned it, I know, and I do apologize, but he's dirtied himself, essentially. And, yeah, you know, let's just hope that things get better for him and he can join us soon. And hopefully, you know, once he's cleaned himself up, the stench will go, yeah, and he'll be back on his feet in no time.
I'll be praying for him. He'll be in my prayers tonight.
Yeah, thoughts and prayers for Mike. I mean, if you're listening to this at the moment, if you are concerned about Mike's well-being, hashtag thoughts and prayers, yellow stained jeans. Oh, sorry. Yeah,
exactly.
Hashtag thoughts and prayers, yellow stained cream chinos.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're willing to donate some money, let's get Mike a new pair of cream chinos.
Let's do a GoFundMe. Should I set one up now?
Yeah, set one up. If we can get, yeah, you can probably get a decent pair of chinos for £35. What are those websites that do men's clothes quite cheap? Boohoo.com.
Sheen.
Is that a British one or is that Canadian?
I think that's everywhere.
Is it? Okay. I mean, let's stick with
Boohoo. The clothes are paper fit thin, but they're like very cheap.
I mean, we probably want something that's a bit more absorbent. Let's go for Boohoo Men. If you can find, and if you're a listener, if you can find a decent pair of cream chinos on Boohoo Men, post them towards at the Demon Seed. Hashtag Mike Bubbins replaces chinos. Let's work together.
Is there still Primark in the UK?
Oh, good. Yeah, there is still a Primark.
Well, Primark, as nobody calls it.
Primani, mate. Fucking Primani. If you can find a decent pair of cream chinos that you think would fit Mike and they're a decent price, tweet at the Demon Seed, send us a link. And then if you can set that GoFundMe up now.
Yeah, it's done. It's called Get Mike Home.
Okay.
In brackets. He's ruined his cream chinos and it's got a 7-day crawl ahead of him.
Okay. And that's
close brackets.
Yeah. So
with a target goal of £10,000.
Well, I think £35 might get him a decent pair of cream chinos. If we drop
£10,000 is for marketing, admin costs, chlorine, and then just also taxes.
And also, I suppose if they don't fit initially, he's going to have to return them. So there's going to be a nominal fee on that as well.
Counseling too. We have some counseling.
Yeah. And counseling as well. Yeah. So that's something we can work on. So let's work on this together. You know, not just you and I, Reese, but the whole Demon Seed team. I like to
the whole community.
The whole community. I like to think it's a family, primarily of men, middle-aged men from the South Wales area.
Yeah, yeah. The single middle-aged men who've given up on just everything else, and they've gone, let's just buy a house together.
Yeah. Do you know
what? They all have a dark sense of humor. Yeah. They like fart noises.
No, I'll tell you what.
And the self-loathing is continuous.
I'll tell you what, you know, if we had the money, if we all bought a house together, we would have a right. Imagine you, me, Mike, the one that draws the pictures, listens to the show. The lad who used to send the videos of him breaking into his own children's rooms and then quoting our podcast at his children, him. The one who has to use his wife's Twitter account to message us and his wife gets angry about it, him. Some of the newer listeners, the one who enjoyed the regressive hypnosis session we did recently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If how we all got the house together.
The patrons who've given up and left bad feedback.
The ones who've left the Patreon because it clearly was not worth anyone's time.
My favorite option is Demon Seed did not deliver the content I expected.
Yeah.
it should be our tagline.
Yeah, and not delivering the content anyone expects since 2022, maybe 2021, you know, so.
Yeah, well, we've done 107 episodes now, so this is episode 108.
We're going strong.
We should have had a party for 100, but we missed it. We forgot.
I tell you what, we've missed most of them, to tell the truth. But, you know, there's plenty of fun up ahead, plenty of fun to come. Just remember, if you've got a spare £5, a spare £12, or a spare £30, please donate. Let's get Mike those chinos. Yeah, let's get Mike those chinos. You know, nobody likes dirty trousers.
Is it warm with you, John?
Not massively. Rain at the moment. We've had rain for weeks. So how about you? How's your temperature? This is great.
32 today. 32.
And that's
I'm sweating in this small room.
Fantastic content for the podcast.
But I am drinking The most North American drink ever, grape soda.
Oh, lovely. Now you're
President's
talking.
Choice, grape soda.
Now, before you moved to Canada, had you ever tried grape soda?
No.
And this is a great bit of content. Let's yeah. take it back. Regressive hypnosis. I'm gonna hypnotize you and just go back to the first time you tried grape soda. So what I want you to do, Reese, is just relax. Just feel the environment around you. And we're going to take you back to a time in your life when things were a bit simpler. You were a slightly younger lad. And that's right, you just moved to Canada. And I'm going to count down from 10, 9, 8, 7. I want you to think of the early days of when you first moved to Canada. 6, I want you to imagine you've unpacked all your stuff and the house is ready and you're going into town for the first time. 5, 4, you're looking around the shops for a drink. 3, 2. Okay, and on 1, you're in a shop in Canada about to try your first grape soda. Where are you, Reese? Where are you now?
I'm in Atlantic Superstore in Tantallon.
And what are you wearing, Reese?
Cream chinos, but it's a whole suit.
And who are you with? Are you alone or are you with friends, family?
It's just me. Okay. The dog's in the car, so I've got to be quick.
Okay, because obviously you can't leave a dog unattended in a car. You know,
it's minus days. 20.
Very cold. And what aisle are you in now in that shop? Where are you, at the foyer or are you in the, which aisle are you in at the moment?
By the lobster tank.
The lobster tank. And do you feel hungry or thirsty or
do you feel hungry? I want a pop.
You want pop. Okay. So we're just going to take it forwards just a few moments now. And you've walked up the aisle and you're looking at the pop. You've looked at the cola. You've looked at the Pepsi. You've looked at the Canadian equivalent of Tango and Quattro. What can you see in front of you now, Reese?
Oh, grape soda.
Mm. What's the first thing that comes to mind there?
That's new.
Yeah. Of course, in North America, around Canada and sort of America in general, it's not new. It's been there for a while, but to you, it's new. And what are your emotions here? What are you feeling here?
Ambivalence.
Mm. So
emptiness. Just,
yeah. Slight self-loathing.
Slight clenching of the cheeks.
Yeah. Okay. So what I want you to do is just take it forward a few moments now, and you're at the till, and I want you to explain all of the items you've picked up alongside the grape soda, Reese.
Grape soda.
Mm.
A live lobster.
Yeah.
Vaseline.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. So we're going to take you forwards just a little bit further now. And I'd like you to, if you can, just go back to that moment where are you when you open that drink? And take me through the opening process. Tell me what's around you. And then tell me about the taste sensation.
I'm okay. In the car.
Yeah.
Listening to News 95.7,
mm-hmm.
the local radio station, yeah. Where old racists call in and shout at the DJ.
Yeah.
And I'm alone, and I'm going to open the can and drink grape soda for the first time.
And how does it taste, Reese? How does it taste?
It's shit.
Okay, so what I want you to know is on 5, I'm going to bring you out of this, and you're going to be back in the real world. So let's just breathe deeply, take a few breaths in, and 5, 4, 3, 2, and you're back in the studio, Reese.
Wide awake.
Okay, so how does that feel for you? I mean, can you recall any of what we just went through there?
Yeah, pretty much all of it, but...
Yeah, yeah, and that was...
Still shit.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's, yeah. Again, we filled up about 13 minutes of the show so far.
That was good. That was promising. I got something for you as well. Hang
okay.
On.
Yeah.
Check this out. Okay. You know, when we've had a bad track record with me playing videos on you.
You are, of course, because if you have listened to the Demon Seed previously, you'll know there was a series of videos that Reese played with terrible consequences. What's this one, Reese?
2 hours of traffic.
Oh, come on. Now you're talking. Look at that. What's lovely is for people who aren't watching the podcast right now, they can just hear the sound of traffic, which is quite calming.
It's nice.
It's quite calming, yeah.
I don't know where it is. It's a city at night.
Is that a live feed?
It's not a live feed.
Just a video.
Just a video. 2 hours of traffic.
That's nice. That is nice.
Yeah.
Actually, we could do, I mean, we could just do a little, I could do a story over the top here with the sound of this traffic. And then later on, do you want to add a few sound effects or something to it? I'll just do a little.
Yeah.
I'll just, okay. Hello, everybody. It's Mr. Tumnus here from off of the fantasy book called Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And I know a lot of you are going to recognise the name from your childhood when you was younger. Of course, you probably read the book or you've seen the film adaptation recently, probably about 10 or 9 years ago. And as a young child, you know, you've probably even seen a cartoon adaptation of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Or you've even seen a BBC adaptation, which was done in roughly the early to mid-80s, really. And, you know, a lot of people ask me, you know, what's it like being Mr. Tumnus? And they've always got a lot of questions for me regarding The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And I just thought today I'd take the opportunity, really, to give you a bit of an insight into what it's like being Mr. Tumnus, especially after the great success of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Obviously, a very popular story based on an alternate universe discovered by a bunch of young children what go in the back of a cupboard. And uncovered a battle between good and evil. And of course, I'm the conduit between those children and the fantasy world in many ways. I mean, I suppose if you're breaking it down, you could say the wardrobe itself was a conduit between reality and fantasy. But of course, once you crossed over, you're actually dealing with me as your sort of first person greeter. And I took those children on a journey into a world of, yeah, there was danger, but there was mirth and merriment. And there was magic, and there was terror, and there was fear, all combined into a rip-roaring adventure that has enchanted thousands throughout history. So without further ado, I'd like to take you into my world, the world of Mr. Tumnus from off of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. So let's obviously at this point, Rhys, you might add a bit of sound effects if I say, welcome to the world of Mr. Tumnus. Are you happy to do that, Rhys?
Yeah. Okay. Go for Mr. Tumnus.
Okay. So welcome everybody to the world, the enchanting world of Mr. Tumnus from off of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And that's where the sound effect will come in, and then I'll go straight in.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
So a lot of people have been sending in questions recently saying, Mr. Tumnus, obviously you're a faun, which is a type of half man, sort of half goat, horse sort of character with, you know, your tits out at the top and your arms. And then the bottom half, of course, with sort of legs, four legs, like a horse sort of goat. And they say often, you know, obviously when you're in your fantasy world, that's fairly easy to get around on. But what about in just general day-to-day life if you go up the shops? And I got to tell you, it's a fucking nightmare. And I wish for the life of God I was born with the body of a man, but I wasn't. So that's the answer to that question. Moving on to another question sent in from 9-year-old Leon Wilcox from Hertfordshire. He said, Mr. Tumnus, it's very much a great pleasure to hear you talking of your anecdotes from the wonderful days of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. But tell me, does our witch woman really enjoy Turkish delight as much as you made out she did in the story? Well, I got to tell you, Leon, funnily enough, she don't like Turkish delight at all. It was something we added just to give something the listeners, the viewers, the readers could relate to.
He's frozen. John? John? Just have some traffic.
Back.
He's back.
I'm back. Did you get my voice message that I sent there?
No.
Okay, I did send a quick voice message.
Should I play it?
Yeah, it fills up some time, so that's no problem.
Hang on a minute. Where has it gone?
Okay.
You sure you want me to play this?
Yeah, it's just to let you know where I was.
I'm still here under the guise of Mr. Tubness. I'm just waiting for it to log back on. Can you hear this? Over.
So here we go. That message. It was nice of Mr. Tubness to drop it.
It was lovely. It's a shame we lost the link there. But again, there's a great bit of content there. I'm sure if you put some fantasy music over that alongside the sound of the traffic, that's quite soothing to some people.
It is. It is. I killed the traffic. There we go. It's back. I'll mute it.
That's all right.
I'll mute it. But I was skipping through and the angle changes at about 30 minutes. The angle changes slightly. That's exciting.
So again, if you're listening to this podcast, we've been watching footage of a relatively busy piece of motorway at night.
Yeah, in a city.
And listeners can hear that traffic, but they can't see the footage. And luckily for us, we can see a fixed static shot of a road. But during our conversation, the angle changed and we're seeing the road from a different position now, which is great.
Yeah. What's your favorite road?
Great question. And again, if you're a listener, do you like roads? Have you ever been on a road? You know, have you ever decided to use a road, then not used a road, but then used a road at a later date? Let us know. Yeah. Hashtag at the Demon Seat podcast. Great question, Reese. I think one of my favorite roads, and that's a good question because there's a lot of roads in the UK. I mean, there's a lot of roads throughout the world, aren't there? I personally would probably say my favorite road. Oh, you've really got me. You've caught me on this one. I wasn't expecting this to come up today. Let me think. I don't know the name of it.
Okay.
I don't know the name of it, but I went to France in the early 90s and I remember waiting for a bus to go and see Back to the Future 3.
In French?
With the French lad I was with at the time. And I'll never forget that bus stop. It was very modern. And the road was very quiet. And I remember thinking how clean the roads were. And that's always stuck with me.
They're all on fire now, but...
Well, of course, yeah. It's all burning up, isn't it? You know, but you've got to have a laugh, haven't you?
My favorite road is actually three roads joined together.
Oh, go on.
There's a thing in Nova Scotia where they very unimaginatively name things.
So, I'm just gonna vape, but you go on. Yeah. I'm listening. Mm, yeah.
Mm. So there's a lake called Big Ass Lake. It's just a big lake. There's plenty of islands called Small Island that are small. But there's about an hour from where I am now, there's a little housing estate, and there's three streets. And the one street is called This Street, the other street is called That Street, and the other street is called The Other Street.
Do you know what? This is good, actually, because road talk...
Road talk!
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Rogue Talk. This week with me in the studio is leading rogue orthology, Reese Waters.
Hiya,
Reese. You've been studying rogues for years now, and it's great to have you on the show. I'm very happy you're here.
Thanks.
And it's great to have you talking about the different rogues, because as we know, the UK has got one of the highest concentrations of rogues in the UK. You're obviously in Canada right now, and you've just mentioned a road called, well, if you'd like to tell us what it's called, please.
Well, one of it is a road called This Street, a road called That Street, and then the other one called The Other Street.
Which is brilliant, isn't it? Because, of course, you know, it sums it up.
It's funny.
If you're listening yourself and you are a podcast listener, a long-time listener or new to the show, have you got a name of a road you could mention? Why not send it into Demon Seed Podcast at the Demon Seeds Podcast and let us know the name of any road that you're familiar with. It could be Capurlin Road, just at the top of the Gare in Newport.
That's a nice one.
It could be It's a really nice one, that is. It could be... let's think of another road.
Newport Road.
Newport Road, of course, which is a road in Newport that leads to Cardiff, or alternatively a road in Cardiff that leads to Newport, if you're looking whichever.
Still called Newport Road or anything Cardiff too.
Yeah, and that's a really good one as well. So, roads, they're fantastic, aren't they? And they take us all across the UK and beyond. And for many of us, roads are a solid form of communication that we might use every day. But not everybody in the UK gets to use roads. For example, people who are banned from using roads or people who are scared of roads. So over the next 16 weeks, we hope to introduce those people who've got a fear of roads or have been banned from roads back into road use. And I'd like to start off really asking, Rhys, what's your favourite side of a road?
The top.
Yeah, the top of a road. Yeah. Now, that's more of a... That would more really come under the sort of what's your favourite end of a road, the top or the bottom. The side is either the left or the right hand side. Now,
which way am I looking?
Well, if you imagine the house you grew up in,
right,
and you come out the front of that house and you stand on the pavement and you're looking left.
I grew up at the end of the road on a cul-de-sac.
So if you come out of your house. And you turn left. Were you looking up the cul-de-sac or the dead end of the cul-de-sac?
Dead end, left and right.
Okay, so let's turn round now. And if you look right, you can see up the cul-de-sac, can you? Out of the cul-de-sac from there.
No.
If you can imagine that. Okay, so if you turn left, can you see up the cul-de-sac up that way? What about if you look straight ahead?
Can you see up the straight out my house and then you see up the road.
Yeah, so just imagine you're looking straight up from out of your house now.
Yeah.
And you can see the road going up out of the cul-de-sac. What's your favourite side of the road there?
The left, because that's the way out.
Yeah. And then on other occasions, I mean, is it a time where the right-hand side of the road might be more appealing for you in general?
He's gone. He'll be back soon.
Well, hashtag I've been on a road. If you've been on a road,
hashtag I live on a road. If you live on a road, you might live on a dirt track. And he's just sent me another voice message. 2 seconds. We'll just play this for you.
Oh, yeah, Rhys. It's your Uncle John here. He's just checking in on Road Talk. I know we've lost the connection somewhat, but I just thought I'd send this message. You can play to people while you're waiting for me to reconnect. So if you just play this message now and I'll be back with you shortly, thanks. Here we go, I'm just pressing try again to get it. Just bear with me a moment, please. But what it is, I'll explain it. I'll explain it for a bit while I'm waiting for that to connect. So I recently signed up with Virgin Broadband, and a lot of you may remember they completely ripped me off Skagme, they did, and I'm stuck with them now. But anyway, what they do very cleverly is they charge you loads of money for it not to work. And it's not working at the moment, so it looks like it's loading you that arm.
Hey, he's back.
Back again. That bit of the podcast was good. I'm sure with a bit of music over the top, that'll be good.
Road talk.
Yeah.
There we go. The angle changed again while you were away, John.
I tell you what, it's going hell for leather, this podcast.
What's
going
to happen next? Nobody knows.
I don't know. Round and round the spotlight goes. Where it stops, nobody knows.
I got some weird news for you.
Oh, go on. Go on, so, let's do it. Weird
I'll news. Read the headlines and you pick, right?
Okay, yeah.
This is from Associated Press. So the big peanut once again rains at the roadside in Georgia after Hurricane felled earlier goober.
Okay, that's the first one. Yeah.
Okay. Avid search for Texas rodeo goat bringing residents of a small rural county together.
Okay, can you still hear me?
No. Oh, he's frozen again. Hey, John's having technical issues. I'll just keep reading headlines. No, that's shit. No. Iowa man wins 4th of July key lime pie eating championship in Florida Keys. Iowa man's collection of 70,000 pencils being evaluated as possible world record. It's another news headline. Hang on, I got a voicemail from John.
Hi, Reese, it's Marvin Gaye, the soul singer here. A big surprise to you from me, but don't worry. I'm calling from the afterlife, I am. I died years ago. It was a tragic accident, actually. Shot by my own father, but we won't go into that. I'm sure music fans can Google my tragic demise. But the reason I'm getting in touch is because your Uncle John was doing a podcast with you, but tragically, very much like my demise, his internet connection's gone under. Don't worry, he's getting on it now. He's getting on it now. It's Marvin Gaye back here again. He's pressing try again on it now. God bless him. He tries his best, like, but of course he's been ripped off by Virgin Media. Wait there a minute.
That's all I've had so far.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Oh, hang on. Another one just came in.
This is harder than anything I've ever done in my life before. And of course, I've been through several divorces. I had a relatively successful career, but with a few rocky albums, including I Want Here, My Dear, which, oh, it's not a bad album. Of course, I did give all the royalties to my ex-wife in a settlement because she strung me up a bit. Like, and she said, you know, get divorced. I want all the royalties from your album. So, but I was going to say I did to tell the tale. I didn't clearly. He's just connected now. Hang on a minute. But me. I just wanted to make a podcast. Help me. I'm gay again. Hang on. He's coming back now, mate. Hang on a minute.
Hi, Reese. Sorry about that. Marvin Gaye from the other side. Just took over the link there. So
there we go.
Bit of a shame when that happens, isn't it? But, you know.
Yeah. I cancelled the crazy news stories because there weren't any good ones.
That's fine. Again, it doesn't matter because we filled up a bit of time with that ourselves.
We've done really well so far.
It's like one of those.
Pat ourselves on the back.
You know, like if we were in prison and we'd done a really terrible crime and there's no hope of us getting out of prison ever. But they've got to try and rehabilitate us. They send someone in and show us how to make podcasts. And do you know?
There is a podcast that does. Is the podcast is them doing it?
I think that is us, isn't it? Yeah, that is. This.
No, but there's a podcast called Your Hustle, and it's prisoners being interviewed in a prison,
right,
as a project.
What do you want to? I mean, should we do that? I mean, I can be a prisoner.
And okay, and I'll interview you.
What should I call myself?
Dean?
No, hang on a minute. Let's think of a name here.
Good crime name.
Gavin Campbell.
Gavin Campbell. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So, let me get rid of the cars. Cars.
Again with this, could you do like a little bit of a sting and then
yeah.
And you do quite a straight introduction and just ask me about prison life, how I ended up here, you know, that'll fill up loads of time and why I'm doing a podcast now.
So welcome back to the show. This week we have a very, very special guest from D-Wing. He's a violent offender. He's going to be here for a long time. He's already done 5 years. He's got, even with good behavior, at least another 20 left to do. And from what I've been told, he's reflected on things. He had a tough start in life. And he's a new person. So, with me is, someone to share their philosophy on life and the day to day life of a prison inmate is, Gavin Campbell.
Hi, Reese.
It's really nice of you to invite me to do the podcast, because as you know, I'm serving a life sentence at the moment for a series of heinous crimes. Don't laugh, mate. A series of heinous crimes what I've committed throughout my life. I've been in and out of the big house since I was 13, and it's very flattering for me to be doing this today, because essentially it gives me a sense of worth after the terrible things I've done, which you can ask me about openly, and I'll tell you exactly what I've done to all of them.
What's the worst thing you ever did, and why did you do it?
Worst thing I ever done was cut a man's ass cheeks off with a pair of scissors. The reason I'd done it was purely because he just gave me jip. And it's a very terrible thing for a man to attack another person, you know, but I was full of rage. I was very angry from a very young age. And, you know, I'd had no one to discipline me. And when I was roughly 17 years old, I got involved in an altercation at the 24-hour spa at the bottom of Cliver, which I was coming home from a night out in Newport. I'd had a couple of drinks. And there used to be a man called Body Warmerfucker who used to run the 24-hour spa. And Body Warmerfucker was a very friendly man, and he worked behind the counter. I fondly remember him. We called him Body Warmerfucker purely for, you know, he was out of love, really. But he only had a couple of fingers on one of his hands. And every time we went to the 24-hour spa, he would, he'd always say, "What do you want?" And you send him running up and down the aisles. You say, "Cornflakes, please, BWF, Body Warmerfucker." And he'd run up again and say, "Oh, now a can of cola, please, BWF." And we used to have a bit of a laugh with him. Of course, I'm a highly violent person. I'm prone to just bursting out like that for no reason at all. And as we were having a laugh with Body Warmerfucker, I clearly remember somebody standing behind me in the queue saying, "Hurry up, mate, I need a Mars bar. I'm a stonehead and I need a bit of sugar." And of course I clicked, didn't I? I just snapped. I saw red. And I simply turned to Body Warmerfucker and I said, "Mate, just get me a pair of them scissors." And he sold me the scissors. I turned around and cut the man's ass cheeks off, left him on the floor. And within minutes, the police had turned up. I was arrested. And that was the start of my downward spiral to these long-term imprisonments that I'm going through at the moment. Probably the worst thing I've ever done. And that's the reason why I'm in the big house today. I do run B-Wing now with a fist of oppression, by the way, so don't cross me.
So our next section is called Myth or Fact.
Yeah.
So, and I'll just basically say a prison myth or fact.
And I can confirm or deny it.
Yeah. And you can tell me, give me a bit of detail if you want. Yeah. So, okay.
Yeah.
Shit food, myth or fact?
Great question. And it's something I think everybody needs to know about, really. Food in prison is mediocre, apart from on Wednesdays, when we do get a slightly better deal on the meals. We all take it in turns in the kitchen. I do a very nice Spanish chickpea stew. So really that with a bit of garlic bread on a Wednesday is something the whole of D-Wing look forward to eating. Overall, it's not very good. They can never get a batter right on the fish, Reese. You've got to fry batter at incredibly high temperatures. And of course, you need to make a batter mix from scratch, and they're just getting a pre-made mix in from Brake Brothers, which, you know, is a very popular food suppliers in the South Wales area, and they're not frying it at the deep enough heats to really get a crispy batter. So overall, mediocre, I would say the prison food is, apart from on Wednesdays when I do a very convincing Spanish chick. I've never even been to Spain, but I do a very convincing Spanish chickpea stew with a garlic bread. And it's very nice, but overall not that good. And sometimes occasionally we get ice creams on birthdays, but that's only if we're very lucky.
Surprise shower bumming, fact or myth?
Not so much a surprise. Funnily enough, in the big house, it's just very taken for granted, really, that you are allowed to interfere with somebody else's bottom if you want in the shower. Not so much a surprise, more of a just a routine. I this morning both received and administered, bottom love. And everybody gets on fine. Sometimes, quite often, you'll find we'll do what we call a conga chain, where when we all get in the showers, we all link up and we all go, let's all do the conga, let's all do the conga, nah, nah. And the guards join in and all. You'd be surprised how many of the guards join in. And of course, they got truncheons, and the things they get up to with them are shockingly funny. In very, very, very many ways, it's like a television show Porridge, but a lot more brutal. And of course, in Porridge, they never showed, what's his name from the two Ronnies actually involved in a conga chain with the rest of the. But it was written into the script. Funny enough, I saw a program about the making of Porridge the other day on BBC4. When they give us TV time, we pop in and watch it. And Big Ronnie from the two Ronnies did actually write a scene where they all did a big conga chain with Mackay at the front. And then they all sang Let's All Do the Conga. And Mackay goes back round in a big circle and he links up with, what was his, in the prison in Porridge, what was his prison mate called? Beckinsale, Richard Beckinsale. And they do the big conga chain and they do, come on, man, do the conga. And he links up into the back end of Beckinsale and they got a big circle. And the last 40 minutes of the episode was them just going around in a circle in the showers. But BBC banned it. They just didn't have the foresight to think ahead of the time. It was seen as deemed as offensive. But of course, now it's just a reflection of prison life within the UK. And it's something that I must say I look forward to every morning when I have my shower, that big old conga chain with all the guards.
Sounds like a flashy prison shower Voltron.
Yeah, very much so. And I don't even know what a Voltron is, but I can only agree with you on that.
Digging tunnels with spoons.
Oh, you...
Myth or fact?
Well, you can't go to prison without digging a tunnel. And if you've ever seen that film, I don't know if you've ever served time yourself, Ys, but...
well, yeah, that's why I'm here.
Right, of course, yeah. Well, I've got to say, if you've ever seen the film The Shawshank Redemption, which is a very popular film based on a short story by Stephen King, who writes horror films, but also has done Stand By Me, which is more of a coming-of-age story. And of course, The Shawshank Redemption itself is horrific in many ways, but by no means a horror film. But I think that's a very apt, almost mirrors prison life. And we dig tunnels all the time. I was just recently digging a tunnel from D Wing to B Wing to pass narcotics through because we also we make our own crack cocaine in the toilets. But yeah, tunnel digging is very popular. And quite often we'll spend, 3 to 6 days in a row in a tunnel. And on a Sunday, we all watch a war film and we pretend to be different characters from it. I recently was pretending to be the character of Charles Bronson played in The Great Escape. He played a Polish soldier in that, very brave, actually, but I pretended to be him. And my mate Carver was pretending to be Donald Pleasance. I don't know if you remember the film, but in the film, Donald's about to make the escape from Stalagmite 14 or whatever it's called. And of course his eyesight's going, but he's so brave. He pretends his eyesight's okay. And that, he says that famous line, "Don't you, I can see perfectly." And of course he can't. And it's very sad. And he has to stay behind in the prison cell, which of course we all have to stay behind in the prison cell because we're serving hard time for murders and things like that. So it's very, very, yeah, very, very relevant, really. We do dig tunnels all the time, Ys, of course. Yeah.
Toothbrushes brushes that have been melted into knives. Well, myth or fact?
Great question. I'm glad you asked it. Funnily enough, I was looking to create my own shiv just this morning, and it works out. One of the lads having a bit of a joke at a take of my toothbrush, but don't worry, because in prison, as you know, cigarettes are contraband unless they're passed out, they're dished out by our various guards. If you haven't got a toothbrush and you want to make a shiv, get your hands on a packet of full strength Malva, because they've got fiberglass in the filter. And what you can do, you see, enjoy smoking your 20 or 30 Malvas, keep all the filters, and then scrape the paper off. And with the filters you got left, you can heat them up with a lighter and you can melt them and create your own fiberglass blade. So it's not just toothbrushes, Vise, what we use to create shivs. We use cigarette filters. One of the lads on D-Wing recently acquired just a pebble, and he managed to claim that he wanted a rock polishing kit. Very similar, again, to the character from the film, what's it called, by Stephen King?
Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, very similar. In that film, yeah. You'll notice he does request a rock polishing kit because he's heavily into geology. And, of course, after seeing that, one of the guys on D-Wing realised if he requested a rock polishing kit, he could use it to sharpen a piece of quartz, which he's been working on nicely, and he's going to attach that to his big toe, and he's going to kick Tony Lewis in the eyes on Thursday with that. So that's something to look forward to.
That's the end of that round chapter.
Okay, yeah.
What next one is, what are you going to do? Which is, what's the first thing you're going to do when you get to step out the doors?
Oh, great question. I'm really glad you asked it. Well, with the term that I'm serving at the moment, I won't actually set foot on solid ground in many ways, free ground as a free man, until I'm 78. So I'll be a lot older than I'm now. But I think the first thing I'm going to do is wreak havoc and revenge on my ex-wife's current partner. You know, ever since I went to the big house and she took a new husband on, lovely man by all accounts. He works for the local library, and he does a lot of work for charity, and he's a volunteer at the local church and all. But why should she have had such an easy life? So I think the only way to punish her is to attack Paul Rutherford, her husband. So I'm going to get on a bus, and I'm willing to kidnap him, douse him in petrol, and set fire to him. And if I do end up back in the big house, I don't mind. I'm institutionalized, and a lot of my friends are here anyway. So revenge, a dish best served cold. And it's something I'm looking forward to dishing out when I get out of a big house. So this is the age of 78. So that's what I'm going to be doing there. Yeah.
Nice.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
And have you had any spiritual awakenings, like doing yoga, or have you found any kind of like deeper meaning to life since you've been there?
Well, I've got to say, that's a very interesting question, and it's one I was surprised you brought up, really, because a lot of people see us in the big house as just being animals, you know, and there's no way of us turning back and changing our lives. And I've got to say, I for one admitted openly that I would never change, and I never thought I could change until they did introduce yoga into the big house seven or 9 months ago. And I started attending the classes. I could do the downward dog now, and I've learned how to breathe and all that. But I've got to say, since doing this, made no difference at all. I'm still a ball of rage, and I'm ready to kill. So no change there. And I don't believe in God. I just believe in the hand of justice that's dished out by me and me alone. And if you do cross me, I will gouge out your eyeballs with a fork.
You can't see fairer than that.
No, of course you can't. No.
Last question then.
Yeah.
What are you going to do today?
Good question. I'm in lockdown at the moment, so I'll probably stay in my cell for 9 hours. You know, I highly likely I'll probably take a dump in a bucket in the corner. Got a 20-minute exercise run coming up later in the day. And then, probably going to just sit there and fume. And then when I do get out of solitary confinement, straight off down the bottom of the stairs in B-Wing, onto the pool table, couple of pool balls in a sock, and then just indiscriminately attack whoever's next to me. K-Vest gulling. And of course, make more room for new incomers once I've wasted their lives, and just gain respect overall for being a psycho. And and maintain my iron fist of oppression over D-Wing, which I've had for some time now. And if you dare take it off me, you will pay the price. Not you personally, but anyone who crosses me, like.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Well, thanks very much. Is there a message you've got for the people outside? Anything you want to say to anyone?
Yeah, Cal Brogan, you're dead, mate. Cal Brogan, you are dead. You know you are. And you know I'm going to catch up with you sooner or later. It's that, if you don't understand what I'm saying there, that's a private beef I've got with someone called Cal Brogan. And what I'm saying there is essentially is coded. It's prison talk. It means, Cal, I'm going to kill you.
Mm. So for anyone who couldn't read between the lines then,
that's for people who don't understand. Yeah. I think after you spent a lot of time in the big house with someone like myself, you learn a linguistic code which is not recognisable by the average person on the street. But when I say Cal Brogan, I will get you, or Cal Brogan, I'll fuck you up, or Cal Brogan, I'm coming for you. It's code. It actually means I'm gonna kill you, Cal Brogan, with these very hands.
Nice.
No problem.
Well, this has been fun. To say goodbye, I'm going to play you some footage about the outside world. This is a road at night.
Oh, do you know what?
There you go.
There's nothing I miss more than lying in my cell at night than the sound of traffic on an A road or a motorway. So it's a pleasure for me to be listening to this now. And it takes me back to my youth, really. The first time I ever listened to a road, I was a very young child, and I proceeded to listen to roads right up until they banged me up here in my prison cell. It's wonderful. Yeah, it sounds really nice because you can hear cars going past and all. Sense of freedom it gives me, a real sense of freedom there. It's almost like a seashore, isn't it, or vein. But it gives you that real feeling of the open road, something I'll never see again in my lifetime. Well, till I'm 79.
Too old. If you put a traffic cone to 1 year, you can hear the traffic, they say. Yeah,
you can. That's true, actually. If you do put a traffic cone to your ear, you can hear the sound of traffic. There's something romantic about the sound of the road, the smell of the petrol, you know, and the... The disused Deodora trainer on the side of the motorway embankment.
Tangy Toms blowing in the wind.
Yeah, an empty bag of Tangy Toms crisps just blowing in the wind. And a brief respite as the road remains empty for what seems like a lifetime, but it's only a fraction of a second before a Mazda Bongo drives through with some holidaymakers in it heading to the coast. There goes somebody on a motorbike. There's another one. And then here comes a car. Wonderful times and a real sense of freedom. I'd like to thank you for gifting me with that today. Thank you very much.
I'm only allowed to play 3 minutes. It's not my rules, the prison's rules.
Well, there's always some cunt making rules in there, you know.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for people like us, those rules wouldn't be broken. So, yeah, fair enough, though. Should we just stop it now?
We're nearly at the end. Okay, any just a call to action?
Okay, yeah.
Can you leave us reviews? I like it when people leave us bad reviews, but give us 5 stars.
I tell you what, if you are able to access Demon Sea Podcast, please leave a review just describing how pathetic this is. Just try and explain what you've just listened to in 12 words or less.
Yeah.
That's a good one. And if you don't know how to access, you know, the actual Apple iPod, whatever it's called, podcast, just write it on Twitter or Facebook. I don't know if we've got a Facebook, you know, and just write in 12 words or less what you've just experienced and why you don't want to have to go through that again.
Or tattoo it on a friend.
Yeah. And if you, again, you know, can you name a road at the Demon Seed? Name a road.
Yeah, there we go.
And if you've got a bit of cash, please, please donate. Let's get Mike some new chinos. Some new chinos.
I forgot about that, but hopefully he'll be back soon.
Yeah.
With a clean bottom and fresh trousers.
Yeah. So fingers crossed.
Bye.
Yeah. I've had enough. So turn it off.
Bye.
Turn it off.
The Demon Sea.
Walker, you must be mistaken.
It's now, it's here.
Come on down here and help with it.
Demon Sea.
Paranormal existence.
You mean to say you came here purposely?
The first move in the great conspiracy had been made.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.